Welcome to the latest iteration of Behind the Beard. Today we're joined by a new ACA head football coach, George Johnson. Also joining me, Lewis Anderson, Carson Jones, and guess who's late?
Would it be Pat?
Papole. The plane got delayed in Birmingham, but he'll be here soon.
Awesome. Well, thanks. Welcome to the show, Coach.
Thank you. I really appreciate you guys.
Yes, thanks for taking the time out of everybody's busy schedules. I mean, Coach has got, he's coaching a team, husband, father. He's got football practice this evening, and I'm glad he could, you know, shave out some time to come, be on time, unlike Pat. And when he hears that part, he'll cringe.
Yeah, I know. If I talk to my wife, she's like, "You're always late." I'm like, "Not really. I'm just on time. That's the difference."
Yes.
Now, I was told if you're not 10 minutes early, you're late.
So as someone that played football, obviously, at a high level, and you know, was that ingrained into you if you weren't 15 minutes early or late?
Earlier it was. So when I was at Rutgers, Coach Yano wanted us in our seats before the meeting started. So at 2 o'clock, if that meeting started, we need to be in our seats.
Yes.
If we just walking in, then we're late.
Oh, yeah.
And the punishment for that was just like, it wasn't even worth it. So it was just like, I'd rather be in the seat.
You end up, you have the practice time, and then you just automatically know what time you need to be there because it's not pulling into the complex at 2 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. If you pull into the complex at 2 o'clock, you can forget about it. You're just going to be late.
So you mentioned Rutgers. Tell us a little bit about your story. Start with where you're from.
So I'm from Glassboro, New Jersey, little small town in New Jersey outside of Philly. So I played for a small town. We had 120 kids graduate in my graduating class.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
but came from Glassboro, played all 4 years there. Funny story about that. So I tell my kids about this. So when I was in high school, I wanted to play tight wide receiver safety. I know.
For the listeners, Coach Johnson's he'd be the most physical wide receiver and safety out there.
For sure.
So Coach told me, he said, "Hey, I need you to play tight end DN." I'm like, "Nah, I'm not going to do that." So he moved me down to freshman because he had too many guys at that wide receiver position. So I moved down to freshman. We had too many wide receivers, DBs then too. So he was like, "Hey, can you play tight end DN?" I'm like, "If it's going to get me on the field, I might as well." So I did that. So we did one practice. The next practice, he moves me up to JV. I'm like, "Oh, that's all I had to do?" So so play JV. I caught one pass as a JV. Caught one pass, went 80 yards, never played JV again.
I could imagine. I was just about to say, you know, what a testament it is that, you know, you start out freshman, JV, but it does sounds like you didn't spend much time on JV.
No, I didn't. And that really made me open my eyes and realize that you know, the more things you can do, the better you are. So that's the one motto that we have in the NFL is like, the more you could do, the more valuable you are. So the guys who could play special teams, kickoff, anything, you know, and they're decent offensive, defensive players, they're going to get a lot of time because they, you know, they can do multiple things. And it's hard to find that, you know, guys that want to do multiple things. So that, So
we talk about that often with multiple sports and different things of just trying to get on the field where, you know, you might be the big fish at the school and then you go to that next level. Well, then a lot of those guys were the big fish wherever they were at.
Yes.
And so just being a well-rounded athlete, being the complete, student athlete, whether it's school, all that stuff. So I think that's something we've talked about on here quite a bit.
So, tell us a little bit about your recruiting. Oh. You end up at Rutgers.
Yeah, sorry about that.
You're good.
I end up at Rutgers, and I wasn't supposed to end up at Rutgers. I was supposed to go to Virginia. So Virginia called me. I signed my letter of intent, did everything. A week before I was supposed to be there, they called me and tell me that I got to go to JUCO. I'm like, why would I have to go to JUCO if I'm already eligible to go to college? Well, they over-recruited, so I couldn't be over there. And what was so funny, I was the first committed recruit of that class.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
you knew for sure where you wanted to go.
I knew for sure. So my first official visit was Virginia. And me and my dad, my brother was there. And I just loved everything about it. And it just, you know, I wanted to be actually going to being a lawyer. So I'm like, this is just a perfect fit. I might as well just be here. So right a week before I was supposed to be there, they called me and they said, "Hey, we need you to go to JUCO." I'm like, "Yeah, that's not happening." So Rutgers called me right after that. Told my dad, I said, you know, if this is God's plan, we're going to do that. Because I turned down Rutgers so many times. And for them to still call me was, it was all God. I'm just going to be honest with that one, because I shouldn't even got picked up after that.
How close is your hometown to Rutgers?
So my hometown from Rutgers is probably about an hour and a half. So my dad was always up there. So every game, every home game, my dad was there faithfully. Rain, shine, snow. He even sat there through a hailstorm one time. So,
wow.
So how many years at Rutgers?
So I played 4 years at Rutgers from 2006 to 2010, which is the good years. Our class is still the only class that went to four straight bowl games and won four straight bowl games.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Every time we go back, we make sure we brag on everybody and let them know. So they're like, we're going to do that too. It's like, nah, you can't do it.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And then after Rutgers, you obviously mentioned the NFL. You had quite an NFL career. How did that come about?
Right after my senior year, we was preparing for the draft, and I mean it was a to get to the draft. It was extremely rocky. It takes a lot. If you can ask the guys that have been through this process, it's a lot. It takes a lot on your body. It takes a lot on you mentally, physically, because the GM's job is to get you at the cheapest price. So if he is trying to find everything about you that he can just say, hey, he has this, so now we could just pay him less so we can get a really good player for cheap. You know, they'll really push that. So when you are going through that draft process, you just know that. So when you go into those meetings and you start hearing those things, it's just like you're trying to stay calm, you're trying to stay relaxed, and you try not to let them get to you, because there's one person in the room that is meant to just push your buttons. Like, he's just one person, and they always designate that person. So as soon as you're in the room, it's just that one person just overly aggressive and things like that. And it's just like, you got to sit through it. And it's like, you got to take it. And it just understand that at the end of the tunnel that you are going to get drafted from this. So you really got to just push through the process. But
Was there multiple interviews like this with different teams?
All the time. So every team is just like that. So you ever see? I think it's Coleman for the Bills when they were showing
Keon.
Keon Coleman. Yes. So when they were showing his draft interview, and you see everybody in that room, that's exactly how it's like. It's very intimidating.
So now with technology and stuff, videos come out now where, like, I guess teams, when the prospect handles it well, teams are I guess the footage gets leaked or however it is, but I did not realize they've done this for so long, but they definitely have somebody that's like trying to, like, I don't think you can do that, or you don't seem like you can handle that. And it's like, interesting. Cause I would imagine that as the competitor you are, it's like, you kind of just want to get fired up and be like,
I mean, that's all we want to do. We just want to play football. We don't really care about all that stuff because it doesn't matter. I mean, if I run a 40, we used to say this about coaches when we talked about D linemen and running the 40-yard dash. They're like, you know, look at this D lineman. He runs a 4.5 40. I'm like, if he has to run 40 yards down the field, we have a bigger issue than him running 40. Sure. So if he runs 40 yards downfield, then we might as well be getting ready for field goal block, because he's definitely scored on that one. So.
I'm running down to get ready for field goal block. Yes.
So were you able to keep your composure?
Yes, I did. But now, our draft year was one of the craziest year. We had Gronk. We had Aaron Hernandez, which, I mean, we had him. Yes. We had Greg Hardy. I mean, the draft class was
big, absolutely loaded.
Yeah. Loaded. So I'm thinking I'm going to get drafted in the fourth round because that's what my grade is. Turns out, I had fell out the whole draft.
Wow.
Fell out the whole draft. After the first round, there were some picks in the first round that weren't supposed to go that way, and that changed the whole draft. It was crazy.
Yeah.
I had New England call me at in the fourth round, say, hey, we're going to pick you. I'm like, yes. Then I seen the name up on the board.
Was it your name?
Aaron Hernandez. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, my goodness. And then, but I mean, you made it through that, and then obviously, I mean, was it 9 year career?
Yes, so nine years. I wanted to go 10, but we just couldn't handle it no more. Every day, I used to tell my wife, I'm like, hey, today might be the day. She like, for what? I'm like, I might retire today. So my last year, that's how I felt. It just like, you know, it went from getting my body ready. It took a half an hour to get my body ready my first couple years in the league to about 3-4 hours my last year. I'm like, I can't keep this up.
Yeah. And like, you think with the 16, 17, they're adding games every year. Man. But it's the everyday.
Yes.
The everyday. It's like you guys, even if you guys are doing stuff, it's not just on the Sundays. It's like we watch it on Sundays, but.
Oh, man, it's all week. So, like, Monday is our off day, which is really not an off day because we still come in, we lift, we go over our film. Tuesday is our off day, but that's where guys start to get their bodies ready. Wednesday is our heavy day where you got your full pad of practice. Then you got Thursday, Friday, Saturday walkthrough on a plane or in the hotel. Then Sunday, game day.
Wow.
It's like you're doing something every single day.
We talked about it before. Do you know the average? What did we think was the average NFL career? Is it three?
I thought it
it's
was
less
four.
Than three. Yeah.
Less than three?
Yes. So that's, we always tell everybody your main goal, regardless of what it is, if you're the number one draft pick or you're undrafted, your main goal is 4 years because after that, you're vested and you get all the benefits. So we want you to get the four. And then after four, that's when you can start thinking about the longevity. You know, helping my little brother out get to the like being at the Saints, the one thing I always told him when he was coming out was get the four. That's all you need to get to.
So that's the pension year? That's all of that?
Yep.
Okay. I was watching a documentary a couple of weeks ago. The MLB, after like 10 years, you get a little card where it's like, hey, I can show up to any regular season game and get in for free.
Oh, we need to talk to the NFL.
That's what I'm saying. So there's nothing like that?
No, there's not at all. Okay. I mean, we have a card, but I mean, it's an NFL player's card, and we get discounts, but the discounts aren't really discounts. It's
sure.
Like,
yeah.
They said 2% discount. Like, that's not that much.
Sure. How old are your kids compared to, like, did you have any of them when you were still?
They all came in the middle of the season. except for my oldest daughter. So, middle daughter. So, my oldest daughter, she's 16. She came October 25th. So, we had a game that day. My wife was like, hey, I'm feeling some contractions. I'm like, so the next day, we're
better stop that.
Oh, yeah. So, you know what's so funny about that story? We still laugh about this to this day. So, on the way to the hospital, we're driving, and out of nowhere, my car just stops. And my wife is like, why are you stopping? I'm like, it's not me, it's the car. So, she looks and she's like, what's wrong with the car? I'm like, I don't know. Like, if I knew, we'd be going to the hospital. So come to find out that the car just completely died. So her mother came, picked her up, dropped her off at the hospital, came back for me while I waited for the tow truck. So, sorry. My second son was born August 18th, right in the middle of a game. I got a call in the middle of a game telling me that she's in the hospital. She's giving birth. So it's halftime, and it's a preseason game. I'm like, can I go? They're like, no. I'm like, what I need to do to get out? They're like, two more sacks. All right, let's go. So we go out there. I get two more sacks. I run to the sideline. Can I go now?
Wow.
Well, we set it up
that's
in
incredible.
A way. And then my second daughter, she was born June 14th. So she was born during OTAs, which was the best time. And then my youngest son was born in December 16th, which was the most busy time because you have Christmas, playoffs is getting ready. So everybody is just trying to prepare for that. We had the birth of him. It just felt like a crazy time when he was born. So,
wow.
So how many teams did you play for?
I played for four.
Okay.
So Detroit, Minnesota, New Orleans, and Tampa Bay. Sorry.
That's a lot of moving around.
Oh man, it was so much moving. I think when we went to Minnesota, we were like, yeah, that's the last place. That's the last time we ever lived there.
Oh, yeah.
I bet it's cold.
Cold, yeah.
Oh, man. So, you know how people think Green Bay is the coldest?
Right.
It's really not.
It's Minnesota. You're from Jersey. It's pretty cold up there, right?
It's cold up there, but not like Minnesota.
Not Minnesota
that
cold.
That is different. I mean, we had the Packers in the playoffs. And for that week of practice, Leslie Frazier decides to open up all the doors, and we have practice. So I'm like, this is cold. So it's negative 19 all week. It was -6 in our building. We get to the game. It is 32 degrees. I said, man, you got to be kidding me.
felt like a heat wave.
Yeah, Green Bay is 32 degrees in January. I'm like, where did this come from? So we go into that game. We're like we had nothing left because all week we was just shivering. So we go into that game and like we got beat bad. This is the year Adrian Peterson goes for his 2,000 yards.
Okay.
Yeah, we got beat bad.
Wow.
Go ahead.
So 9-year career. How do you end up being a head coach?
Well, my last year playing, I had a good friend of mine tell me, what do you plan on doing when you're done? I said, nothing, just going to chill with my kids. And he said, well, what about the knowledge that you gained playing football? I said, you know, just nothing. I mean, I don't plan on really coaching. Like, just the way football is moving now, I don't like how it's moving, so I just want to stay far away from it. So he told me, with the amount of knowledge that you have gained over the years, you have an obligation to give back to the youth and the community. So when he said that, I looked at him, I'm like, you're right. I do. I don't like the way this game is going. I really can't stand it. You know, really became a me game, really became a show game, a showboat game, rather than showcasing your talents, showcasing your character, showcasing your integrity. And that's been the part that made me be like, I want to give back because this is what I have gained over the years. So I wasn't the most flashy person. I wasn't the biggest recruit. But at the end of the day, I did it step by step the way everybody wants to do it. They want to go to the NFL. I did it step by step without getting in trouble, without having to be flashy or anything like that. It was just hard work and dedication.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's – so then you go – you decide, hey, how do you end up? So you're at ACA now. You were the defensive coordinator at Christ School. What made you, you know, how did you get into Asheville? Because Asheville is different than any place that you've mentioned so far.
So our Christ School coach last year, Chad Walker, so I coached with him for many years, but I knew him before then. He was one of the guys that was the trainers at the facility I was working out at when I was playing. So when he got his head coaching job at this Christian school, I called him like, congratulations. And he was like, yeah. He's like, I might need you one day. I said, yep, I'll be ready for you when you need it. He called me the next day. He was like, hey, I need a defense coordinator. I'm like, okay. So I coached with him that 1 year. And then the next year, he came up to Christ School. Then he brought me up the following year. So that's how I came up here. And then went over to Asheville Christian.
Then he left you again.
Oh, yeah. Then he left me again.
Does he just run from you?
I know. We always talk about that. I'm like, why are you always leaving?
Oh, yeah. So Christ School to ACA.
Yes.
What's the biggest differences there?
They're
both private. Totally different, yes. Though.
So I guess the eagerness that the families have at ACA is, you know, when somebody wants to be great, they are searching for it. So that's the one thing I can see about some of the parents and some of the players there, because they really want something different. They really want to be really good. So it's like, it's almost like they're praying for it. It's like, I feel like that's the difference. It's just, it's a different desire. So when I walk through the door and I start talking to people, there's a different desire. There's a different fire. Like Christ School, they did a great job with all the guys there. You know, we sent so many guys to colleges, even guys who didn't want to go to college, we still found a college. but, you know, going to ACA, when I walked in the doors talking to the head of school, Jason Putton, and our athletic director, Joe Johnson, the one thing that they had was they wanted more. That's the one thing they kept saying. And it's like, you know, you guys want what I want, so let's make this work. So
it's a tough year last year, ACA, flood and all that. How's the rebuilding going on down there?
It's coming along. We just started our soccer fields. I'm sorry. We just started the soccer fields, so that should be done soon. We have a special plan for our football field. We're just waiting on that to roll it out. And then we're working on our tennis courts and other fields. So it's the rebuild is coming slow, but it's coming steady.
Where are you practicing? Where's your games going to be played?
So our practice is still going to be at ACA.
Okay.
So we did find a place that we can make it work. And then for our games, it's going to be at Memorial Stadium.
Okay.
So, awesome.
Yeah. I've played up there flag football a bunch.
Yeah. I mean, the field is nice. So when we walked up there, we kind of mapped out how we were going to do everything. Like, this is really nice. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's a turf field up there, right?
Yep, it is.
It's like Gen 1 carpet, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great space,
very
too.
Very soft. Yes.
Yeah. So what do you like, the turf versus the grass? What do you think in there?
I never really understood that, but I do like turf, but it's not for the reason that everybody says. You know, turf makes you faster. They talk about turf and how it could tear up your knees and this and that. I'm like, well, I mean, you play football. If you play any sport, you can get hurt.
For sure.
So to me, it's like, if there's still a possibility I can get hurt, I really don't care what the surface is. I just want to go. So to be my fastest, I feel like turf is the best.
What does your coaching staff look like this year?
So we brought over Alex Gray. He was our DB coach at Christ School last year. He came with us. He's our defensive coordinator over at ACA. We have our O-line coach, Dan Perry. We just started a middle school team. So that was surprising. I was expecting about 20 kids to sign up for that. We have 45.
Nice.
Oh, that's great numbers. Yeah.
Yeah, those numbers were crazy. So our coaching staff is Alex Gray. He also played for the Buccaneers when I was there that one year. And then we have Dan Perry, Ty Spivey, who's going to also be our middle school head coach. We have Ken Floyd. He's a dad at ACA. So he's going to be our special teams coordinator for our middle school team. And then we have Aaron Simonette. I had to practice that name. Aaron Simonette, he's going to be our running backs and linebackers coach, but he's also going to be our middle school defensive coordinator. So we're all doing multiple jobs.
And that should help, be instrumental for, it sounds like what you want to do at ACA is, not just, you don't want to be there just one year. You've kind of got a plan. You've got young kids and whatnot. Yep. So the middle school team, that's going to be super helpful for, you being able to map, putting your fingerprint on that program, and then they can get up, grow up through the system. So that should be very helpful.
That's something most private schools don't have, is that middle school kind of feeder system up to varsity.
Yeah, we felt like we was missing that because that group is, they're so tightly knit. They all close together. So we was like, we don't want to, we want to take advantage of how close they are. And they really wanted to play football. I've been wanting him to play middle school football for years. I wanted to be done with youth football. So for him to have the opportunity to do middle school, it really came out of nowhere. It was almost like God just threw that out there because we found a program, not a program, we found a lead down in South Carolina that they was able to play with. So we got sixth graders, seventh graders, and eighth graders all on that team.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So what about players? You got any players, standout players? We've talked a couple times. Unfortunately, lost your quarterback in the offseason. What do you got coming back?
So our biggest asset that we got coming back is Sean Kraft. He just committed to Notre Dame, so I was so excited for him on that one. We just brought in a quarterback, Les Otis. He's been really solid. He's focused, he's dedicated, always pulling me aside. He's like, hey, coach, what we got? So like today, I'm like, listen, I can't keep giving you these. We got VR training. So So we started the VR training with our quarterbacks. So now they're getting the extra reps. This program is really going to change around, turn around. We got a lot of plans in place, not even just in our program, but in the locker rooms, the classrooms. So we got a lot of things that we're going to do this over these next couple of years that I really think is just going to change the map of ACA.
Now, you say VR training. What are we talking about here?
I got the idea from Jalen Daniels. So just watching him over the past few years and how he goes from Arizona State to Heisman winner and then to number one draft pick to beating Detroit, who looked absolutely unbeatable, to beating Detroit in the playoffs. I started studying some of the things that he did, and one of his big components that he said helped him out a lot was the VR training. So we dove into that and we bought the package for a VR training. So now our quarterbacks are working on that daily to work on their drops. So it's like, we can't do routes all the time. So how can we get these extra reps without being on the field? So the VR training was the best way. There's another package that we're going to buy for our O-line as well. So we're going to try to utilize this as much as we can.
Wow.
And that's next. I mean, that's next level stuff. That's the first interview we've had that's, you know, coaches utilizing that program. Yeah. Do you know of any other high schools that use that?
There are a few. There aren't a lot, but there are a few.
Probably not many around here.
No, I mean, around here, I don't know any of them that's around here. But outside of, I think, North Carolina, more like Florida, Texas, you might see more VR training.
Wow. Was it crazy expensive?
No, it really wasn't. It's more like we work it and we do it, but you got to say these commands as you throw the ball. So sometimes they don't like you go, hey, corner rip. So you throw the, you're throwing it to the corner, but then it doesn't record. You like, no, you didn't. I know you did not just record my rep. So, but, you know, that's, they have really been enjoying it. It's been a lot of fun just to see where their eyes are. You know, that's been the biggest thing for me, just watching where their eyes are that when the play starts is like, that's what I want to see. Because if I know where your eyes are, I know you're going to make the right read. But if your eyes are just all over the place, you're not going to see what you need. Yeah.
So. Numbers-wise, where are we at numbers-wise as far as like, do you have all your guys in? Do you still have some guys planning on coming in?
So I don't have all my guys in. So we're about 23, more than that. But, I mean, we're expecting the number to grow once school comes around.
Yeah.
So we're just being patient for that.
Yeah.
So do you go by the same schedule the rest of the high schools do? Did you just start your workouts, or did you start early in the season, in the summer, or how long have you been going at it?
So we started on Tuesday. That was our first practice, but we've been doing stuff all summer. So we've just been working on, like, the routes, just littlest, like, little detail stuff, so that way they can get a feel of how I like to coach. I want them to know that I coach out of love. Like, I will be tough on you, but it's out of love. So I want you to do your best. And if you pull off or give up on something, I'm going to make you do it again. So that way you can get that rep back and get that confidence back.
Wow. So your schedule, looking at your schedule,
mm-hmm.
What are you thinking there?
It's a pretty solid schedule. I mean, we
I noticed you're in four different states. And
yes. So we had... So we just had another game drop on us. We had Lakeway Christian. They weren't able to continue their season, so we ended up picking another team called Middle Tennessee Christian out in Tennessee.
You might as well move to the Tennessee. Oh, I mean, you got a ton of games over there.
Yeah, we have so many games up there. So, I mean, the good thing is this year we're all over there. Next year they got to come to us. So
right.
We get a lot of home cooking next year.
Yeah, and you'll have a field to go with it.
Exactly. You got a field to go with it. That's perfect.
The one omission from your schedule, we've talked about it, and I know you weren't part of the ACA last year, but that ACA Owen game
was a
fantastic. It's the middle of the week. You know, we're just coming back from the storm. Lewis, what was the score?
I don't remember. What was it, like 50?
50-49 or something like that.
I don't know if there was a defensive stop the whole game.
No, they won by one point.
Yeah, but it was, I mean... For the communities and stuff, it was really special to see all of us went and
we dubbed it the Battle for the Valley.
Yeah. We was hoping that we can keep that game.
It was definitely on Owen, wasn't it? Go ahead and say it. I'm just kidding, Coach. I'm just kidding. Lewis, if you don't know, is an Owen guy. His son goes to Owen. Yeah.
So I really wanted to keep that game. But, you know, I think that game is going to come back only because it was too big for it to go away.
Yeah.
Well, were you there at all?
No, I wasn't there, but I heard about it. Yeah, and so
everything was filled. I mean, you guys probably had to stand. I don't know.
Yeah, I've never seen an Owen game that full.
Right. Yeah.
That's the track around the field. I mean, it took 2 hours, which Mike wants to, if the game starts at 7, if you're not there at 4, you're late.
Yeah.
And so, but the line, I mean, we were parked for an hour just trying to get into the parking. It was very, very special. But I think that if that game ever comes back in the future, I think that that would be awesome for that area.
Yeah, I definitely think we should bring it back. And then when we do bring it back, we kind of put like a little fun spin on it and add a trophy to it. So like a battle for the Valley and add a trophy. Yes. I think that would be really fun. Something that you can keep for years.
North Buncombe, I mean, it's a big deal for North Buncombe and Madison. Literally a jug. It's a battle of the jug. And it's like, and for some reason, that's such a big deal. But it's, you know, the kids all take, you know how kids are, they take pictures with the jug and whatnot. I didn't see the jug at all while I was in high school. Not once.
I know some public schools don't like to play private. They like to, you know, they're afraid of everything, that you're going to steal their players, that, you know.
Some call it a lose-lose.
Consider lose-lose. Thoughts on, I know you have a public school on there. You got Avery.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that?
Tell you the truth, if, like, when we came from Florida, the one thing that they had was everybody played everybody. Nobody was afraid to play anybody. They didn't care. I mean, if a kid is going to leave, he already had that in his mind before the game, you know. So if he's going to leave, you can't really, you know, as a coach, if you reflect that on yourself, I mean, you're just going to drive yourself crazy because every kid leaves. But
eventually.
So, but it's just like, to me, it's like public and private, everybody should just play. I mean, why is everyone traveling to Charlotte, Tennessee, Virginia, South Carolina to play games when there's a plethora of schools right here in this area?
I feel like, you know, it's pretty much public knowledge. In the next 5 years, most of the coaches around here are retiring. The ones that's been here a long time. I really feel like with that next generation of coaches that you're going to see something very similar to that.
Oh, that's...
You know?
What, everybody playing everybody?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm hoping. I mean, because...
I think most of the coaches, what he's probably alluding to is most of the younger coaches probably are more open to it than a coach that's done, you know, 20, 30 years out of school and they're, you know, and they've been burned by one or two kids leaving, or, I mean, it could be 10 or 15 kids leaving, but over the course of 30 years, I mean, you talked about it with what happened with Virginia. It's stuff has been happening for years. It's just, it's gotten more common. Private schools, you know, there has been more kids leave public school and whatnot. But
I don't think it's for the athletics.
Not always, no.
Yeah, I'm talking to a lot of parents. It's really for academics.
And recruiting.
Yeah,
like,
and recruiting.
Like for college. No, it's like if you compared Christ School, how many kids went to
college
and all that compared to a local school that's public.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys, Coach Walker a couple years ago said there's like 180 recruiters come through there.
Yep.
A typical high school around here might have one, two.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to, like, so I had a good friend of mine. He coached over at Pitt. He was the co-officer coordinator and the pass game coordinator, but he's not there no more. He's in the NFL. But the one thing I asked him, because I was trying to get him to come out to go see our players, and he just said, hey, we don't come to Western North Carolina. I'm like, why? And he was like, it's not real football. When he said that, I'm like, wow. I'm like, you know, why did you feel that? So then he started to explain to me and it made sense. He said, you know, when you got guys that run triple option, we can't go after them. And he like, a lot of teams run triple option, so it's like it'd just be a waste of time for us to go there. So what we do is we just try to go around, or we just try to find those one or two guys. And while we're on our way to Tennessee or Nashville or something like that, we stop there. I'm like, we got to change that. So,
but it's true though, and you know how many colleges run the triple option, or when you're in college, it's the same thing with recruiting in all sports. But one reason that I was such a proponent, because with Mike, my friendship with Mike, and then hearing what Luke was going through, and it's like you hear of, oh, the difference is only just class size. It's like that's just the furthest thing from the truth. Yeah. And then some of the opportunities that these young individuals have, academics with these teachers, professors, all these things. And then it goes into when college comes to your school, if they see that you can hold these kids accountable, they can show up. I mean, we were talking about workouts from 8 to 10. You've got, I mean, not every coach can rely on their kids being there at 8 o'clock. Yeah. And so that's a real thing that people are going through. And so I think just you setting that foundation, that's going to give, and we've talked about it, you can't, and you know more than anybody, you can't, when college calls you, you can't make up things about the kid, because then that could hurt your chances of helping the next kid behind them.
Yep. So. We always, I know Coach Walker was very hairy on this. If a kid didn't have good character, he never, he couldn't get the kid recruited because of the character. If you have a bad character, you got to think about it. When you go to that school, you are also carrying my reputation too. So if you go to that school and you act a fool and you get kicked out, guess what? They're not coming back to our school no more, because they just go like, oh, it's a part. They're playing a part. Yeah. So, you know, just trying to get our guys to understand that, hey, yeah, all the time there's somebody watching. So make sure that you're doing the right thing every single time, so that when people see you, they understand that, hey, the character that this man has, the integrity that he has, is going to be perfect for our school.
Yeah.
I think one of the other downsides, Western North Carolina, you can go to Charlotte and visit 25 schools in 5 miles.
Yep.
You got to drive a while to get to everything around here outside Buncombe County.
Yes, and that was another thing. But and I told him, I'm like, you can't change that. I'm like, I can't change geographics.
We can't move them any closer.
Yeah, we can't change geographics. I'm like, but I will say there is talent here. And I told him now, like, there's talent. Like, you know, it might be sporadic from place to place, but there's talent here. So, you know, that's my whole thing. That was the reason why I really wanted to be a head coach at AC. Is like, I want to get everyone to understand that there's talent here. There's guys here. Talking to the coaches from Notre Dame about Sean. Even UNC, you know, they're starting to understand, hey, we might need to start going that way, because there is talent out there. It's just, we got to find it.
Yeah.
So
how do you temper some of these parents and kids' expectations when they come in? Everybody wants to go D1. It's harder now probably than ever.
Yes, it is.
How do you kind of set the expectations for those kids?
I try to tell people, you can't trick football. Football is a true game. It's a pure game.
It's
so
true.
If you think you're going to come in and you're not going to compete for a spot, you know, if you go to college and you go to D1, I mean, you're competing every day for your spot. Like, you're competing every day for your position. So you got to learn how to compete. And if you don't know how to compete, if you haven't learned that, going to college, going to Division I, I mean, there's no point. Because when you get there and you start seeing the competition, you're going to get scared and you're going to shy away. Because, I mean, I'll be truthfully honest, when you get to that next level, everyone's fast. I mean, I thought I was fast. I was like, yeah, I'm fast. I could beat everybody here. I did my first gasser. I was almost last. I'm like, I'm not that fast. So it's like, everybody at that level is fast. So the thing you got to have is competitive edge. So if you have that, you can beat out everybody. But if you don't, there's no point to even going.
So we know ACA struggled the last couple of years in football. You talk about building a program. What kind of expectations do you have for this year?
I always had the same expectations, to win everything. That's always my expectations, regardless of what it is, whether we have the best team or the worst team. My whole thing is just to win everything. But if we don't, at least I want our guys to understand they learned football. I tell my son this all the time. I ask him after the season, hey, what did you learn? If he can't tell me, we ain't going back to that team. We got to find a new team, because you didn't learn anything. So same thing with our guys. When you step off that field, your last game, you better have something that you learned. So if you learn something, then that means you was paying attention. If you haven't learned anything, then either I did a horrible job teaching, or you just wasn't paying attention. So,
do you feel like there's a cap at ACA?
What do you mean?
So ACA plays, they're not in the NCISAA, right?
Yes.
You're just an independent school.
Yes.
Do you think there's a cap? Can you take it to the next level? Can you get to the Asheville school level? Can you get, you know, to the Christ school level?
I think we can. It's just people trusting it.
Right.
Yeah. I think people, like for instance, Christ school basketball didn't become Christ school basketball overnight.
Right.
It took time. You know, same thing with so many other sports. And I think the one thing that helped Christ school was you had one person who was willing to say, I'm the best. I want to go here, and I want to bring the best. We just need that one person. I think once that one person says, I'm the best, I'm going to this place, everybody who's the best, you need to come with me. I think when we get to that point, we're going to have a really special team.
Yeah, because how much, when you talk coaching, I mean, you always hear that it's the Jimmy and Joe's, not the X's and O's. Mm-hmm. Is it a little bit of both? Because it really does help when you have that. You talked about Christ school basketball with the Plumleys. It's like that kind of puts it on the map to where, you know, you got NBA guys.
Yep.
And then, you know, Caden Jones with Christ School, mm-hmm. where it's like that brought a lot of attention. And then now, you know, Roberson baseball is very similar to where I just heard, I heard Monday that one of Watauga's baseball players' dad, and they just, they were moving down to a two bedroom in the outfield of Roberson. So this is breaking news to listeners that, that they are actually doing it and they're moving. And I'm like, I guess you can't commute from Boone to, Boone to Roberson, but it's also one of those things where you build that, you get that guy in. And then I actually transferred high schools. I was at Reynolds, and then I transferred and ended up going and play with a one of the best players in the country. Played for Team USA. But when you have that guy, it's like you want to go play around it.
Exactly.
And it was like I was not the best guy at any practice that I went to, but it elevated my game to be better. And then you know, could you have got drafted? Because no, I'm not. I wasn't a draft. I'm not a prospect. Yeah. But, you know, it doesn't mean I wasn't a good high school baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
That kid's different.
Yeah.
But he still elevated everybody in the whole program. And then next thing you know, you got all these kids that want to come play around him.
Yep. I mean, everybody needs that one person. If you can get that one person, it changes your program. A couple years ago, we played Carolina Day School. So they had 6 5-star players. The previous year, they had 0. The next year, they had 6. The next year, they had 11. The next year, they had 22. Like, right now, they're just continuing to keep loading up. But
Providence Day School?
No. Carolina Day School. So it's down in Florida.
Oh, in Florida. Okay.
Yeah, so
sorry.
Yeah, so we used to play them a lot. And, like, when they got these 6-star guys, we were like, that's not going to change it. And, like, the year before, we beat y'all by 70. It was like, yeah, that's not going to change. But it was a tight game. They was pretty good. So we was like, oh, okay, that did change a lot. But it was our X's and O's that did help us be the best. I think when you're playing against teams that are just as even as you, those X's and O's are going to help. Now, if you got guys that are better than you on the other side of the ball, yeah, sometimes the X's and O's doesn't even matter. It just comes down to how long are we going to sit here just – wait for this clock to kick.
I had a question from a listener. More leadership, is it more important high school, college level, or the professional level?
High school. The earlier you can crack leadership, the better you can be when you get older, because it becomes practice when you get to college. When you get to college, it becomes a practice on your leadership, and then when you get to the professionals, they're expecting you to be a leader. If you're not a leader when you're a professional, you don't last long. You don't see guys who aren't leaders, you don't see them last long at all. So it definitely matters. The younger you are, the more leadership you can have, the better you can be.
So everybody on the team in the NFL is a leader?
Yes, you have to be.
That's crazy. This is going to blow everybody's mind.
Well,
because you think of you got the one leader in the locker, you know, you've got your one guy, and it's like they're all just like leaders in their own way.
I mean, now you do have that one. Like when we was in New Orleans, we had Drew Brees. Like he was our unquestioned leader. But everyone else was a leader in their own way as well. So, a guy that comes in, he's undrafted. He's the leader of undrafted guys. You got quarterbacks. Somebody's got to be a leader. It's not quarterback. Running back. Somebody's got to be a leader in that running back room. Somebody has to be a leader in that linebacker room. So it's leaders all over the place. It's just now who's going to bring it out of themselves.
Fascinating.
It is fascinating.
We were debating this a couple of weeks ago. We're like, we're pretty sure leadership in the NFL doesn't matter. Because, it's a bunch of dudes been doing this their whole life. Right. They listen to the coach and they go out there.
It depends. If he's a bad guy, he could be a leader all he wants. Nobody's going to listen to him. everybody has that one guy that just out of nowhere has a speech and you're like, you didn't talk last week when we was getting whooped, so don't talk now. So you do have a few of those, but outside of that, everybody
would you ever show your team a Jameis Winston? Those are incredible.
Oh yes, I would.
Are those are genuine, right?
No, those are real.
Okay, those are real.
They were not made up.
Because every teammate he's ever had says he's a great teammate.
Oh yeah, he's an absolutely great teammate. I mean, when it comes to motivating everybody, that's what he does. So we used to live down the street from Jameis, and so he knows all of my kids. He was working very closely with my brother when he got to New Orleans. So when we talk to Jameis, it's like even his regular life, that's how he talks. I'm like, Jameis, we don't have to talk like this. You know that, right? But
Do you guys have crab legs a lot?
Oh, Lewis is our instigator. And we can also welcome Pat Pohl. The plane landed.
Indeed.
The delay is over. Yeah.
The Toyota RAV4 pulled up. That's all that was. Sorry I'm late. And great to meet you, Coach. And
oh, thank you.
I'm enjoying hearing the conversation. Obviously, I have no idea what you all have been talking to prior to this, but I'm going to probably listen a little bit more. And if I chime in with a question, you all probably already answered it, but that's okay.
We'll answer it again.
We've mainly been talking about how much better ACA is than Reynolds.
Oh, good. Yeah. That ought to go over well. Thanks. Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's not true. That's not been said.
So my car might be egged after this.
So will mine.
So back to ACA football. Do you guys, first game, who do you get first game?
Our first game is Mount Bethel in Marietta, Georgia.
Marietta, Georgia. Wow. Yeah. So we were talking about the different states: Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina. Yep. You guys got a big travel budget.
Yes, we. Oh well, do we? or just say we? I mean, we try to find games that were, I guess, everyone that was in the same boat as us, so that way we feel like we're working together. So.
Is it tough being an independent school and not being with a association?
No, not really. I mean, the only thing you do miss is, like, the All-State honors and things like that. But to me, it's like, I don't even think All-State and all that stuff matters anymore when it comes to going to college. If you go down the list of, like, college players that are there now, I mean, how many All-State players are you going to see? Unless you go to Ohio State. But if you go somewhere like Buffalo or App State, how many All-State players are you going to see? You're just going to see guys that compete. So it really just matters more about your competitive edge rather than anything else.
So when you're making your schedule, and we've kind of been talking about this with, you know, the reclass in mm-hmm. North Carolina and all that, you're starting with a fresh schedule, right? Yes. You don't have any predetermined conference games around that. You fill everything.
Yeah, so we fill up everything, which is a blessing because if you think about it, if, say, the guys do come in that we want to come in, now, instead of just playing these independent schools around here, we could talk about taking a show on the road. Sorry. I'm talking, like, I got friends in New Jersey who are looking for games. I got guys in Florida. So I'm talking about, like, going to Cali, Texas, and things like that. Like, I'm trying to really make a big splash with this team.
So how do you get those guys there? How do you bring them to ACA?
They just got to believe.
Because you don't have the boarding option that some of the other guys do.
No, we don't.
So they're going to have to live in Asheville. Is there another option?
No, so we do have an option where...
Pat said he's got a couple bedrooms.
So just we kidding. Do offer housing to some people. But in that housing, you still have to pay a little bit extra because it becomes like a boarding type situation. So we kind of give a stipend to the families that house you. So that way, at least they're not feeling like they're being...
Like financially burdened.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's so, all. I don't think... Did we know that?
I didn't know.
I did not know that. So that's great to know.
Yeah, I mean, it's something I even know either. So as I was talking to them and we started going through our plans, that's when we started reaching for, guys who are like out of state. Hey, you guys can now stay here now. This is what we figured out.
What percentage of your students are... boarding students?
Probably like less than 1%.
Okay.
They're more like international.
But you're trying to change that,
yes,
right?
Yes, we're trying to change that right now.
Awesome.
Wow. So
there's some land available right below the school now.
It's a lot of land.
You could build some dorms over there.
Yeah. I mean, we're starting over, so we can build dorms right now.
But I think ACA has shown, I've seen... like, for example, obviously you're wearing the golf hat. Their golf facility, I mean, it looks like they're wanting to put the right foot forward as far as, like, making some very nice facilities. Is that something that you believe in as well?
Yes. Yeah. We all know that everyone is attracted to facilities, jerseys, and things like that. So by giving everybody – well, not giving everybody, but just by having those nice things, we're showing that we do care about those sports. So it's not something that we just take lightly.
Yeah. Probably everyone at this table remembers when Oregon started posting all their videos of their new locker room and their new jerseys from Nike. I mean, probably everyone remembers that.
Yeah. So you mentioned your new football field. Did you see the high school football field in Buford that came out?
Man.
Are you guys playing on a $65 million facility? Is that what we're looking at?
I mean, I wish we could find that. I mean, just to find that around here, that's going to be impossible.
Yes.
But, I mean, yeah, I seen that facility. I'm like, this is a college facility. Yes. I'm like, this is better than some D2 schools.
A very nice college facility.
Yeah. They're like $62 million. Like, where did y'all find that?
So is that just straight taxpayer? I mean,
I don't know. Had to be some donors involved.
It
is Georgia.
Yeah, I went to college in Greenwood, South Carolina. And Greenwood High School had a 4-story press box. And that's where Josh Norman, Monty Edwards, and some guys went. And it was, you know, I thought it was just there. But then when you're driving from Asheville to anywhere in upstate South, you see Dorman off the side of the highway. And it's like, wait a second. Schools in South Carolina, maybe they do their education lottery just a little bit better than we might need to have something like, because all of their schools, even no matter where it's located, the facilities and schools all look, you know, nice and new. And my sister's in Raleigh. It seems like sometimes maybe Asheville's just a little too far away where they don't, you know, we're not getting the new schools every 6 years that it seems like has happened at other places.
Now, I was in Franklin this week, and they have made a absolute devastation mess of that high school's area where they're rebuilding the whole.
Are they rebuilding Franklin?
Yeah, I knew they were rebuilding the stadium.
Yeah,
they're
going to
play at Raven Gap.
Yeah.
Raven Gap and Western. Yep.
Wow.
So they're getting a new facility. I don't know if it's $65 million.
I bet it's not.
If you go see that facility, I'm like, man, I need to go there to coach.
Yeah, so I know Coach has got to run. Any other ACA football questions for Coach or any other questions we got?
Well, one thing we've been asking all the coaches, what's the craziest thing you ever seen on the football field?
Oh, this could be good.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, that's good.
I mean, it is way too many things. okay. I got one for you. So we're playing Green Bay. I'm in Detroit. We're playing Green Bay. There's a fumble on the field. I jump on the fumble and I got the ball underneath me. John Kuhn puts his arms underneath mine and he starts pulling the ball. I'm like, hey, help. He's pulling the ball. So I'm trying to get my teammates to get him off so I can keep the ball. But he would not let go. And I'm like, man, he is strong. So I'm sitting like, we got the ball. I'm over here yelling to the referee. Then Susie says, Detroit ball. I'm like, hey, John, you can have it. We got the ball anyway.
So were the rivalries real in the NFL? Like the Green Bay and Detroit rivalry?
Oh, man, they were extremely real. I know some people think that they're fake. No, not at all. Especially the NFC South games. I mean, I played in hostile environments, but not those NFC South. I mean, we played Carolina in the playoffs when Cam Newton, it was last year in Carolina. It was so loud. The fans were extremely rowdy. Like, our players were extremely rowdy. And, like, because I played the Saints so many times, not the Saints, Carolina so many times, I'm like, to me, I always couldn't stay in Carolina. So, but yeah, those rivalries are—they're real.
Now, did you guys ask him the question I was going to ask?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay, go ahead.
I have one other question. Do you have one?
I do have one.
You can go.
All right. So around here, all the high schools have like a bar stool page.
Okay.
And like the week before, you know, it's nothing but trash in the other school and all that, and you know, it gets personal. And
yeah.
Did you guys have that in the NFL with each other?
Nah, we just usually call people.
Okay.
I mean, the trash talking, that one is like, you can't put that online.
Yeah, yeah.
It's some things that said on that field. Like, now that they put the mics out there.
Oh, yeah.
And
do you know if you're mic'd up? I mean, you obviously know.
Oh, if
but
we
it's
mic'd
like,
up? Yeah, they tell us.
So you know, and then are you like,
yeah,
so you like letting people know? Like,
oh, yeah.
Okay.
We got to.
I'm
like,
hot.
Hey.
Okay.
So, like, they caught me one game. So we're playing the Patriots, and Tom Brady has the signal for quarterback sneak. So I heard it. I'm like, oh, he called this. I forgot I was mic'd up. So we get to the meeting. They're like, hey, we don't want nobody to know that we know their signals. I'm like, yeah, duh. And then Coach is like, well, George did that. I'm like, no, I didn't. So then he pulled up the mic'd up. I'm like,
I did say that. You knew.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So how often did you know the signals of the other team?
All the time. That's the one thing that we learned. So I used to go to sleep to the quarterback's cadence. So I put a headset
that
on.
That is incredible.
That's my wife. I used to put a headset on. I hear the quarterback's cadence, and I will play it every night that I go to bed. So when I get to the game, I already have their cadence in tune. So I know the flexion of the voice, when they're going to snap the ball and things like that. So that's stuff that we're teaching our guys now. Like, hey, start hearing the flexion. Start under the field, understanding the field position. So it's like those things we always knew when we stepped on the field.
Wow. We could have a whole another hour just on your NFL days, to sure. be honest.
Yeah. Last question. This is a personal question.
Next
for
to
me.
Last. Go ahead.
Next to last. Am I silly for being optimistic about the Chicago Bears? And I want brutal honesty.
They can be good.
That gives me nothing.
They can be good.
Love it. All right, I'm placing a future right now.
I mean, I just didn't understand. To me, when they had that number one pick, I'm like, I'm not trading that away. Like, you traded Justin Fields for the number one pick to get Caleb Williams, which is a project. I'm like, well, if you keep Justin Fields, you get Marvin Harrison. Now you have that threat you want. Now you have those weapons that you want around them. But, yeah, trading that.
They
first
went
pick.
And got Caleb, and they're like, oh, we're going to keep the same staff, which virtually has come out that, like, it appears that he did not learn. Or, oh, yeah, like, yeah. If you would have asked him at the end of the season, he couldn't have told you anything.
No. I mean, to me, him coming out, I always thought Jalen Daniels was the number one pick because he was a Heisman winner. But Caleb's offense in college was more of a on the whim.
Yeah.
Where Jalen was, hey, just 1, 2, 3. And when he got to NFL, you see that same offense that he ran in college that he's running in NFL. So he's able to just adjust quicker, where Caleb, he has to adjust to an actual NFL playbook. Which is not going to be easy.
Yeah. Mm. So, all right. Well, I'm not going to go all in yet.
Coach, we ask everybody that comes on the first time a specific question. It's going to require you to think back a little bit to your high school days.
It's going
to
be CD, not album.
Oh, okay. So that's what I have to say. So now you're going to make fun of my age. Right? Okay, that's good. The most predominant CD album of your high school years, which one was it?
That I listen to all the time.
Yeah, you listen to all the time. Your favorite CD
y'all
or
might
album?
Laugh at me. It was Little John.
Little John.
I don't know why, but I used to listen to Little John before the game, and so I broke about 6 headphones every year. So I would play one song before I would go out, and every time it would give me this burst of energy. I would just throw my headphones and then break them. And my dad was like, hey, if you break this one, I'm not going to buy another one. I'm like, all right. So then next week, yeah, let's go. And I throw the headset. So it was Little John. I forgot what album it was, but it was Little John. It was the one with, it was a Get Low on it. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Pat and I are definitely not going to know. We're too old for that.
I do know what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah, so it was Lil Jon and the Eastside Boys. That's what it was.
Indeed.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had some bangers for sure. I mean, definitely.
So game day, oh, man. But everybody knew if I listened to it, oh, man, it was over.
Over the ear headphones or the buds?
So then we had, we used to go to the computer room. And they used to have these headsets that was like really big headsets that was really loud. So we used to like, hey, can we borrow these? So a teacher would always give us them. So we used to take those for game days.
That's awesome.
Nice. Yeah, you see everybody walking off the bus with computer headphones.
Yeah. Well, Coach, thank you very much for coming out and joining us. We really appreciate your time. It's awesome to meet you. And good luck this season.
Thank you. Yes. I really appreciate all of you guys.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, Coach.